hope you still have your Bibles open to Genesis, and I'm going to be jumping around a little bit today. So just start with Genesis chapter 12. Please turn there, Genesis chapter 12. I don't know if you noticed the title that I have in the bulletin. The title of the message today is, Do You Need Hope? Do you need hope? And I tell you, there are times in our lives when each and every one of us, I don't care how strong of a Christian you are or how weak you are, there are times when we all need hope. Have you been there? I know I have. Have you ever had to deal with something, some situation in your life that you thought was hopeless? Have you ever had a situation when you thought there's no way out, there's no answer, there's no way out of this? Well, the Jews consider Abraham to be the greatest man in the Old Testament, and he is a great man. They call him Father Abraham. And we're going to talk about Abraham today, but I want you to see two things about Abraham. Number one, I want you to see that he was an ordinary man. He was just an ordinary man. Number two, I want you to see that Abraham faced what he thought was his own hopeless situation. Now, there is no hopeless situation for the Lord, and if you're a Christian, so I talk about what appears to be a hopeless situation. But Abraham had his own. So let's look, if you would, look at chapter 15, Genesis 15, verse 6, please. 15:6. And we read, Then he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. So Abraham, and I'm going to use his name that the Lord gives him later on throughout this message. I'm not going to call him Abram, then call him Abraham. I'm just going to call him Abraham, and you'll know where I'm going. But Abraham believed God. But Abraham didn't find that following the Lord was always easy. And I imagine you can relate to that. Abraham is known for faith, but faith is like a muscle. If you don't stretch it, it won't grow. But if you do stretch it, it will grow. Listen to what one man said. The difference between school and life is, in school, you are taught a lesson and then given a test. In life, you are given a test which teaches a lesson. Now, none of us like to take tests, and especially me. I've had enough tests for a lifetime. But tests do something for us. What do? They help us identify our strengths and our weaknesses. We all have them. We all need to know what they are. And life is full of tests, especially in the spiritual world, in your spiritual life. How do you get faith like Abraham? By being tested and learning from it. So the way to become a spiritual giant is by passing God's tests. And that's plural, not single. But Abraham's faith resulted in action, not just head knowledge. It resulted in action. Now, the peak of his faith is seen in Genesis chapter 22, when he is asked to sacrifice his son. He's waited all these years for his son. He wanted a son. He finally gets the son. That son is the love of his life. And in Genesis chapter 2, God asked him to sacrifice that son. Now, I've told you before that if I was to add anything to the Bible, and Revelation tells us that we can't do that, but if I was to add anything to the Bible, I would add one sentence or one question throughout the Bible in many different spots. I would add this. You want me to do what? You want me to do what? Lord, you've given me this son. I love him. You promised me you'd give me a son. And now you want me to do what? You want me to sacrifice and kill my son? That's the peak of Abraham's faith. So what do we learn from some of that? One thing we learn is that no one is too old to serve the Lord. Maybe you can retire in the world from your job or your career, but none of us retire from serving the Lord. Our service may change, but we're never too old to serve the Lord. You're never too old to start serving the Lord. So today, will you trust God completely, or will you only trust Him when you are in control? So Abraham's faith is about extreme faith. His life is an example of extreme faith. And maybe you don't like that word, but it's an appropriate word. Christianity is an extreme sport. Now, I don't know a lot about extreme sports, but I've seen a little bit of just flipping through channels on the television. There'll be some sports there that are called extreme sports. Christianity is an extreme sport. It takes guts to be a Christian. It's demanding to be a Christian. And at times, it can be dangerous. Ask Andrew Brunson about that as he sits in prison in Turkey because of his Christian faith. And Jane and I saw an article on Fox Saturday where the president of Turkey said, well, you want him? You have a man that we want. Let's swap. So he's a pawn in a political game right now. And the man that Turkey wants is in, I think, Pennsylvania or New Jersey somewhere. And at this point, there's no evidence against the man that he's guilty for what Turkey has charged him for. So Andrew Brunson is caught in this political game. Extreme faith. Sometimes being a Christian can be dangerous. But the Lord's sovereign and the Lord's in control. And my prayer for Pastor Brunson is, Lord, will you protect him, use him, and bring him out in his time? Well, the first thing I want you to see here is that God calls ordinary people like you, like me. And I want you to see Abraham, the ordinary man. So look at Genesis chapter 12, please. Turn back a couple pages. Genesis chapter 12. As we look at verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. So God gives Abraham some instructions here. Now here's another example of where I would add something to the Bible if I was allowed to do that. If I was Abraham, I would say, Lord, you want me to do what? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave your country. Leave the USA. Well, I like it here. Been here all my life. It's a great place. But Canada's a nice place, too. I mean, the Bahamas it's nice in the Bahamas. Okay, Lord. From your relatives. Oh, leave my relatives? Oh, wow. Okay. From your father's house. My father's house? To a land. Where are we going, Lord? To a land that I'll show you. I'll let you know when you get there. Now, that's extreme faith. You want me to do what? So there's a couple things involved here. First of all, there's a promise. There's a promise of land. And land was very important to the people of the Old Testament. Also, he promised him people, a nation. Now look at verse 7, please, of the same chapter. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. So he's talking about now he's going to have children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, descendants. So there's a promise of land, and there's a promise of children and people. Oh, by the way, just a note in passing, at this point in his life, Abraham is 75 years old. So the God makes the promise so we can trust him to keep that promise, right? Biblical faith obeys even when it does not know or understand. Biblical faith obeys even when it does not know or understand. Now, there's also a promise of hope here. And this starts Abraham's journey with the Lord. Now, if you're a Christian today, you have your own journey with the Lord. It's going to be different from Abraham's. It's going to be different from mine. But you have your own journey with God that you are walking. So what can we learn so far? God calls ordinary people. There's nothing special about Abraham. Abraham wasn't out looking for God. God went after Abraham. Now think about our theology and the doctrine of effectual calling that's in this passage. No one is born looking for God. We're born rebels, running away from God, mocking God, wanting nothing to do with God. There's nothing pretty about us. There's nothing good about us in the way that we're born. Born in His image, that's good. But we're born as rebels. And God went looking for Abraham. And Lord Jesus Christ went looking for you. And He went looking for me. It's the same thing with us today. Now, God's promise here is also unconditional. I will give you this land, Abraham. I will give you the people if you will do this and this and this and this. No. The promise isn't based on some great things that Abraham is going to do for God. No, this is all about what God will do for Abraham. Well, this is happening because Abraham's a great guy. What was it about Abraham? He didn't come from a godly family. His parents worshiped idols. Abraham was just an ordinary guy. He's living an ordinary life. He isn't anyone special. What makes him different is the work of the Lord in his life. Now that should encourage you. That should encourage me. It isn't based on who you are. It's based on what the Lord does in your life. Now notice another thing. He's known for his faith. So look at chapter 12, verse 7, please, the last part. To your descendants I will give this land. Notice, so he, Abraham, built an altar there to the Lord who would appear to him. He worshiped God. What does that mean for us? He spent time in church. He went to the Lord's house. Abraham worshiped God. Turn over to Genesis 12, 18, please. 12, 18. That's not what I'm looking for. Let's see. It must be 13, 18. No, I've lost my verse. Look at 13, 18, please. I lost my verse. Then Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks. Notice what he did. There he built an altar to the Lord. Again, he worshiped God. We find him in God's house in church. So we constantly find Abraham worshiping God. We constantly find him in church. But at the same time, there's nothing spectacular or special in this man. As a Christian today, you are somebody because God has called you and God is using you. And He can use each and every one of us. Notice also it was a promise for the future. Not just his future, because remember, he's 75 years old. So the Bible said, God said, your descendants will be like the stars in the sky. Now that can't happen in his lifetime. So this promise affected him, it affected his family, and it affects you, and it affects me. So why did God do this? Because in chapters 3 through 11, mankind keeps sinning, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and worse. So God finally says, okay, I'm going to step in, I'm going to choose a people, and I'm going to save those people, I'm going to help those people, and that starts the call of Abraham in chapter 12. God steps in and chooses to save a group of people. God is going to provide redemption for the world through the line of Abraham. It begins with Abraham, and it reaches its fulfillment in the life of Jesus Christ. So if you're a Christian today, this is your story. An unconditional promise. God is seeking you today. So what had Abraham done that made him worthy of such a great promise? Abraham did nothing to deserve God's promise. He wasn't a great man. He isn't a great man yet. He will be a great man, but he isn't there yet. And it's not because of him, it's because of the work of the Lord. So God said to Abraham, go, and Abraham started walking. Where do you want me to go, Lord? Left, right? Abraham, go wherever you want to go. Go. He said, I'll go this way. So he starts walking that way. And it just so happened God was working in his heart, and that's the way he wanted him to go. Pack up. Go to a place far away. God said moved, and he moved. But Lord, I'm retired. I'm too old for this. No. God uses people of every age, young, old. The Lord has a place for you, and he has a job for you. Turn over to chapter 15, please, our scripture reading. Let's look at verses 1 through 4 again. Abraham is promised a son. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a sheer shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." Abraham said, "O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir." Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir." Okay, Lord, but I'm getting older. I'm not as young as I used to be. Now, Abraham is known as a man of faith, and he has great faith. But I also want you to see there are times in his life when the faith of this great man starts to fail. It starts to fall. In chapter 15, he's promised a son. Now, a long time has gone by. Abraham is getting older, and he doesn't have a son. He's disappointed. So guess what? He starts to lose hope. So he's thinking, "I know God made a promise, but it's been a long time and nothing's happened. So maybe I need a backup plan. Maybe I need a plan B, just in case." So Abraham starts to think that he will never get a son. He starts to feel hopeless. Now, maybe that's where you are today. Do you feel hopeless today? But this is a difference. There's a difference here, Steve, because Abraham had a promise directly from God. We don't have that. Well, really? Yes, you do. Your Bible is God's word, God's love letter to you. These are the promises of God, and you can claim them. You should claim them, and in your prayer life, pray them back to the Lord. Say, "Lord, you said," and then pray it back to the Lord. The Lord loves hearing his word prayed back to him. So Abraham's faith, he struggled at times, but he never completely gave up. And I think that's the mark of a Christian. A Christian will stumble. A Christian will fall. A Christian will be weak at times, but a Christian will never completely give up. Now, Jesus said through John that true believers continue. So faith focuses on the end. It's easy to allow the circumstances of this world to cause us to lose our focus. And I know, because it happens to me all the time. It's easy to do. Well, what was Abraham's plan B? Well, he's thinking, God's plan doesn't seem to be working. In 15:3, Abraham said, "Since you have given me no offspring, one born in my house is my heir." Or, "Lord, I'm very disappointed at this point in my life." And we can learn a lot from how God handles this man. There's a great counseling lesson here in how we work with one another. How does the Lord handle this disappointed, frustrated servant of his? Now notice that the Lord doesn't get mad at him. He doesn't straighten him out. He doesn't say, "How dare you question me? How dare you doubt me? You have no right to do that." No, he doesn't do that. Now many times in the Bible, we find great men and women of God complaining. I want to give you a couple examples. Just in the Psalms, you just stay where you are. I'll read it to you. Let's look at David for a moment. David in Psalm 13, verses 1 and 2. Notice David's prayer. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day long? How long will my enemies be exalted over me? Maybe that's where you are today. If you are, you can pray that same prayer in Psalm 13 right back to the Lord. Let's then do another one. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. Same words as David. How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you not hear? I cry out to you, yet you do not save. Now, this is one way we know the Bible was written by God and not men, because if I was writing the Bible, I'd leave that out. God put it in there. He put it in for you and He put it in for me. God records these prayers so that you can see that other Christians, strong, great men and women of God, struggled at times with their faith, just like you and just like me. So Abraham needs reassurance, and God gives it to him in Genesis chapter 15, our scripture reading. Just listen to verse 4 again. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, and he shall be your heir. And he took him outside and said, now look towards the heavens, count the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. So God's reputation now is on the line. How does God reassure Abraham? He cuts a covenant with him. I'd love to spend the next few weeks dealing with the covenant. I want to do a series on the covenants at some point. Covenant theology is fantastic. God cuts a covenant with him, and cutting a covenant is serious business, because when you cut a covenant, blood has to flow, something has to die. Now, why did God do all this? To reassure Abraham. In the future, Abraham, when your faith starts to weaken, when you start to have doubts, I want you to look back at this moment. Remember what happened here. Remember this illustration. And you know what? We need the same thing. We have covenants today. One is marriage. To marry someone is a very, very serious thing. We do it in front of witnesses. We take vows. We say, I will love this man, I will love this woman, till death do us part, through thick and thin, rich and poor, no matter what happens. That's serious business. And there may be times in your life, or in your married life, where your love for one another starts to weaken, and the feelings aren't there, and you fall back on the covenant promises that you made before witnesses and God, and you say, I will love you because I choose to love you. The feelings aren't there today. I choose to love you. And then you work at making the feelings come back. You don't just write off the feelings. You work at it. And if you need help, there are people in this church that are very willing to help you or help me if I find myself in that spot. But that's why we do it in front of people, because we want to commit to others that I will stay with you and I will choose to love you and I will love you for the rest of your life. That's what God did with us. He said, I choose to love Abraham. Nothing great in Abraham. He said, I choose to love you. So Abraham, I will be faithful. Notice God didn't rebuke him for his complaint. He reassured him. So why didn't God give Abraham a son right away? Now, Abraham will get a son, but it's going to be a few years down the road. Have you ever said this? Why not now, Lord? Today you might be praying, Lord, where are you? I need help now, Lord. Why won't you help me now? Now, folks, if faith isn't stretched, it isn't faith. Now, God wants to show His power in your life and my life, and God wants to teach you, and He wants to teach others that you can trust Him. So God isn't our cosmic vending machine where we put in a prayer request, we pull the lever, and out drops our answered prayer. No. God is in the business of taking people who aren't what they should be and building them into what He wants them to be. I was reading a book recently, and it talked about how we should build people up. And I thought about the way God worked with Peter. He looked at Peter and he said, "You're the rock." And I thought, man, if anything, Peter wasn't a rock. He sure wasn't a rock then. But God saw what Peter could be. And we need to see what people can be. We need to see what God can do on our children. What Lord can do with my husband. What He can do with my wife. And we need to talk to them and say, the Lord's going to use you. The Lord has things for you. So God's unspoken promise to Abraham is this: will you trust me? And He asked Abraham that over and over again. Will you trust me? So the Lord will meet our needs in His time and in His way. Now the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Do you want to know if you're a patient person? Analyze how you drive. How do you drive? When someone in front of you and they're driving real slow and you're in a hurry. Or someone cuts in front of you or pulls in front of you. That's a good way to test your patience. How do you act when you're driving? Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who are called according to the Lord. Well, maybe you're thinking, well, all things aren't working together for good right now in my life, Lord. I don't see it. Well, guess what? That's exactly the way Abraham was thinking in Genesis chapter 15. God gives Abraham a great victory in battle. And then what does Abraham have to say in verse 2? O Lord, what will you give me since I am childless? Seems to me that Abraham viewed everything in his life through one lens. And that lens was a son. I've given you a lot of wealth, Abraham. Thank you, Lord, but I don't have a son. So everything's going through this lens of the son. And I think we do that from time to time, don't we? We're viewing everything through life. But Lord, thank you for this, but I still have this problem. I still have an unsaved loved one. This, that, whatever it may be. That's where he was. So God is saying to Abraham, yes, Abraham, everything is working for good in your life. But wait a minute, Lord. 10 years ago, you said that I would have a son, and there's still no son. I'm getting old, Lord. Just look at me. Look at me, Lord. I'm getting old. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. And Lord, by the way, there's still no son. Now, we see Abraham in the Bible as a great man, and he is. But the Bible also gives us some things about him that are disappointing or embarrassing things about Abraham. For example, he had his own struggles. He struggled with lying. He struggled with fear. And fear is a sin. Genesis 12, verse 11, let me just read it. 12:11, it came about when he, Abraham, came near to Egypt, that he said to Sarah, his wife, "See now, I know that you are a beautiful woman." Well, thank you, dear. That's a great thing to hear from you. But, and when the Egyptians see you, they will say, "This is his wife," and they will kill me, but they will let you live. "Please say that you are my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, that I may live on account of you." Now, he is polite about it. He said, "Please." But now think about what he's doing here. He's willing to sacrifice his wife to save his own skin. And then what happened? He did it again. So why does God give us these sad facts about Abraham? Because God wants you to see that Abraham is just like you. Oh, you're not like that? Okay, just like me then. He sinned. He did things wrong. He made mistakes. He made bad decisions. He struggled with his faith. Abraham didn't walk forward with his faith. He stumbled forward with his faith. God forced him to deal with uncertainty. The Lord uses ordinary people. Abraham failed the Lord many, many times, but guess what? God never failed Abraham. And I hope that encourages you as you look at your own decisions in your life. Well, I messed up here. I wish I'd have done that or this or whatever it may be. Years ago, I started on the wrong path. The Lord will never fail you. So God saw what Abraham could be. And that's what we need to see in each other, our friends, our family, our children, husband and wife. You need to see what God is going to do and what they can be. He made mistakes, but he learned from them. Now, chapter 21, turn there, please. God answers Abraham's prayer, and he gives him a son. Read just a few verses, starting with verse 3. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Oh, by the way, at this point, he is 100 years old. 25 years have passed since God made the promise. True biblical faith will call us out of our comfort zone and bring about uncertainty in our lives. And you may find yourself asking at times, what is God doing in my life? Couple points of application, then I'll be through. Abraham is pictured in the Bible as a man of great faith. He's in Hebrews 11, which is that chapter, that honor roll of faith. Just listen to what we find in Hebrews 11, 8. It said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place where he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He was a great man, but he was only a man. At times he was weak. I would say he was a real man. In Romans 4, he is called the father of all who believe. Abraham believed in an inheritance that he did not receive. He believed that one day he would get a son. And then when he finally received that son, at one point God said, okay, fine, I wonder, Abraham, who do you love the most, me or your son? So I'm going to give you a chance to prove it. I want you to sacrifice your son. Lord, after all these years, you finally give me a son, and now you want me to sacrifice. You want me to do what? I want you to sacrifice your son. Hebrews 11, it says that Abraham believed God. I did a whole message on that sacrifice in Genesis chapter 22. Abraham didn't care where he lived as long as God was there. Now, where do you live today? Maybe you're living where you don't want to live. Maybe you'd rather be somewhere else. But here's the point. Is God there? Wherever you're living today, is God there? Is Jesus Christ there? If Jesus is there, then that can be a great home for you. He didn't care if he had the best land or not. He was willing to give it up. Because faith is believing what you can't see. Now, there will come a time in your life when you will have to choose. The facts may be against you. Will you believe what you see, or will you believe what God says? Will you fall and slip because you think that your situation is hopeless, or will you believe God's promise as it's found in Romans 8? Now, finally, last point, I want you to see that Abraham is called the friend of God. What a title. Now, the Bible in Jesus Christ gives us a number of things that he's looking for in a friend. Jesus is looking for a number of things from his friends. And we see all of those in Abraham. So now I want you to ask yourself, does the Lord Jesus see these things in me? Number one, Hebrews 11, God wants a friend that is devoted. God wants friends that are willing to give up everything for Him and put Him first in their life. Abraham proved that he was God's friend. He left his home, he left his family, he left his country. He finally got his son. He was willing to sacrifice his son back to God, but God didn't make him do that. Abraham raised a knife, was willing to bring it down on Isaac, and God said, stop. But nearby, years later, on that very same spot, God sacrificed his son and didn't say stop. So the Lord didn't require it from Abraham, but he did require it of his own son. How can we be a devoted friend of God today? By attending church, being in church, giving, tithing, serving the Lord and His people and His house. Another thing we see that Jesus is looking for, faithful friends, friends that are willing to do something for Him. 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Are you willing to serve the Lord with deeds and action and not just words? Abraham stood up. Another thing we see, friends are close. Friends know what other people don't know. In Genesis 18, God said, shall I do this and not tell Abraham? God didn't tell everyone. He's talking about telling Abraham. Abraham then talked to God. How do we talk to God? We talk to the Lord through Bible study, through prayer. So today, are you a stranger to the Lord? Are you a servant of the Lord? Or are you God's friend? Which one are you? I'm going to give you an example of each one. Stranger, Matthew 7:23. Jesus said, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. That's a stranger. How about a servant of the Lord? We find someone that's a servant of the Lord in Luke 17:7, we find these words. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come immediately and sit down to eat? But will he not say to him, prepare something for me to eat, clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterwards you may eat and drink? So are you a servant of the Lord? And then finally in John 15:13, we see these words. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life, what? For his friends. You are my friends. How can I be your friend, Lord? You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. Why? For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. So today, are you a stranger to the Lord Jesus? Are you a servant of the Lord Jesus? Or are you a friend of the Lord Jesus? Abraham's faith was weak at times, and he stumbled at times, but Abraham was a friend of God. And I hope that that's your desire and my desire today as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this great man of faith, and we thank you for what you did in his life. And it encourages us, Lord, because we know that you want to work in life of each of everyone here. So I pray that you will grab hold of the hearts of each one of us and that you will grow us spiritually for our good and for your glory. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.